The disciples of John approached Jesus and said, "Why do we and the Pharisees fast much, but your disciples do not fast?" Jesus answered them, "Can the wedding guests mourn as long as the bridegroom is with them? The days will come when the bridegroom is taken away from them. Then they will fast." The Gospel of the Lord. Two days ago, we entered into the holy season of Lent with Ash Wednesday. Most of you did receive your ashes. And the meaning behind receiving the ashes is basically the one Greek word, metanoia. And metanoia means, in Latin, conversio, in English, conversion. If you did go to Mass on Ash Wednesday, never forget that Holy Communion is more important than ashes, right? Even a lot of people don't believe that, but never forget Holy Communion is God. Ashes are a mere sacramental. But the ashes you receive have two meanings. The priest can actually say one of two phrases that come from the Bible. First is Genesis 3:19. Remember that you're dust and you shall return into dust. The other would be the first preaching of the public ministry of Christ, Mark 1:15. Repent and believe in the gospel. So for us to be able to really change our hearts, as we prayed in the opening prayer, we're praying for strength to carry out our Lenten observances. Jesus offers us three ways to really arrive at this conversion. His father Al Hall said, giving us a very good image, a tri-dimensional way in which we can live this up. We go up, out, rather up, in and out. Good way of looking at it. The tri-dimensional way of living out those three practices. Go up. Go in. Go out. Up. Prayer. In. Penance. Fasting. Out. Almsgiving. Corporal works of mercy. You're going to notice in these 40 days, almost every reading is going to hit on one of those three themes. Pay attention. What did it hit on today? Were you paying attention to the first reading of the Gospel, or were you still kind of waking up? Fasting, right? So those three practices, prayer, fasting, almsgiving. So let's talk a little bit about fasting today. Sure, all you people, you love to fast, right? You can't wait, huh? Hello? Not that much, right? Most of us, we like to eat, right? We all have a good appetite. As the Italians say, buona forchetta, good fork. I'm a strong believer in the psychological, spiritual principle called the principle of motivation. What does that mean, motivation? We're never going to carry out monumental, difficult tasks if we're not motivated. A young man is never going to become a priest if he's not motivated. My brother, who's a back surgeon, had to be motivated. Any doctor, you know, good 7, 8, 9 years after high school, right? So you have to have motivation. Those who are called to the Olympic Games, They're already practicing 3 to 4 years before the Olympic Games even start. Did you know that? So we are called to be athletes of Christ, ambassadors of Christ. We all have to practice some type of penance. Now the way we carry it out, that depends upon our own inspiration. But all of us have to carry out penance. You know, it's not an ecclesiastical mandate, it's a divine command. You want to hear the words of Jesus? If you do not do penance, you will perish. You know what that means? Like we say in New York, you're gonna go to hell. You're gonna go to hell. That's the blunt New Yorkish interpretation of that biblical mandate of our Lord. If we don't do perish, what does that mean? You're gonna disappear. So I'd like to give us some motivations. The practice, penance, your fasting, talk it out with your spiritual director what you can do. But we all have to do something. Number one, any of you know the most famous book, a Catholic book outside the Bible? It's called Imitation of Christ by Kempis. Have you heard of that? It's number one after the Bible. I have it on my phone and I listen to a chapter because it's demanding, but it's good reading or good listening. So we practice penance because we want to imitate Christ. Some people are going to say, well, I can't go 40 days and 40 nights without eating anything. Okay, granted. St. Francis did. Did you know that? St. Francis of Assisi did. In the very end, he ate a little piece of bread so he wouldn't be filled up with pride. But most of us probably can't give up 40 days, 40 nights without eating anything. So we want to imitate Christ. Second reason is this. Any sinners here? To study Thomas Aquinas. Thomas Aquinas speaks about one of the cardinal virtues. It is called the virtue of justice. And if we commit a sin, in justice we have the obligation to repair for the damage. That's Aquinas with respect to justice. We do something wrong, we got to repair for it. So like if I were playing baseball outside Mark's house and I hit a grand slam and I knocked it right into your front window. Mark, could you please give me my ball back? Yes, Father Broom, but under one condition, could you please buy me another window pane? So I would have to repair for the damage of the broken window before I get my baseball back. So we have to pray for our spiritual broken window panes. They're called sins. So penance is a means by which we can repair for the damage we've done morally. Number two is this, or number three is this. Any of you ever read the book of Job? We're reading it in the Liturgy of the Hours right before we entered into the season of Lent. Do you remember the first chapter of Job? No, Father, we're not Protestants. Okay, well, I'll tell you. Job was the richest man in the East. So he had tons of animals and houses and lands, and he had 7 sons and 3 daughters. And so his kids, his sons, would celebrate. They'd have parties. And they invite their daughters. So Job, every day, would offer up sacrifices in case, because they drank too much, maybe they blasphemed God. I like that passage. Fathers offering up reparation for the sins of their children. Have you ever done that? I'm a spiritual father. Very often when they offer up masses, they offer it in reparation for your sins. Say, thank you, Father. I thought that merited a thanksgiving. I do. I place your sins and mine on the altar and I say, Lord, have mercy. And also prevention for future sins. Amen? So good parents, we got parents here, I think, right? You really love your children. You should be offering some type of prayer and penance and reparation for their many sins. And they're probably many. Third is this. The message of Fatima. What did Our Lady Fatima say? Pray, right? Pray the rosary, but what else? Offer up what? Sacrifices. Why? There are many souls that go to hell because we don't offer enough prayers and souls will be saved if we're generous in offering up sacrifices. I'll give an example. Okay, today, it's 9:30 at night, you're tired, and you hear an inspiration. Go into your room, close the door, and pray the rosary. And you say, well, I already prayed the rosary after Mass with Father Broom, that's enough. But you hear this gentle but insistent invitation, it's called an inspiration of the Holy Spirit, another rosary. I'm tired. Hear it again. Pray the rosary and you give in. And you kneel down and you pray the rosary. That moment, there's a man who's 95 years in living in India. Kerala, I'll give him that city, okay? Oh, Goa, ma'am. And that man, he's 90 years old and he's dying. All of a sudden he has an inspiration, call the priest. The priest comes in and says, Father, I'm really, really sick. I want to go to confession. When was your last confession? 75 years ago. Goes to confession, receives the anointing of the sick, receives Holy Communion, and he dies in the state of grace. Why? Because you offered up a sacrifice for him in Los Angeles. That's the way God works. You're only going to see that guy from India when you die on the day of your judgment. And he's going to say, hey, I'm here because of your sacrifice. That's the way God works. And it's the rosary. You didn't want to pray the rosary. You didn't feel like it. But overcoming our pride, our laziness, our comfort, this is the way God works to save souls. Amen? That's the way God works. Jesus said to Saint Faustina, the most important prayer before God is to pray for the conversion and salvation of sinners. So we should always be praying for the conversion and salvation of sinners. Okay, last but not least, I've got many other motivations, but I don't want to be speaking till noon, okay? And it's this. All of you have a guardian angel, but all of you have a devil too, probably more than one, okay? I'm not saying you're possessed. We all have devils that go after us. You hear me? We all have devils that go after us. It could be the devil of gluttony or lust or pride or greed or envy. I mean, there are tons of devils. Do you remember when Jesus came down from the Mount of Transfiguration, the apostles were trying to cast out the devil? Remember that passage? Why couldn't they cast it out? Jesus comes, casts them out just like that. They say, Lord, why couldn't we do that? And he said, those come out only by prayer and fasting. So for us to conquer the devils in our lives, and we all have them, probably more than one, prayer and penance are the means by which we will conquer the devil. This Sunday, guess what the gospel is going to be? The temptations of Jesus in the desert. How did Jesus conquer the devil in the desert? Prayer, fasting, and the Word of God. Amen? So all of us are soldiers for Christ. We're in Christ's army. Let's prepare ourselves with the battle, but with Jesus and Mary as our general and captains. Amen.